Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, this is Heidi Dietrich on the air, and you are listening to The Diet Rich Life, the premier show, and we're talking life mastery for health, wealth, love, and happiness. I have here on the show with me Michael Brooks, and Michael's the founder of Coach on Fire Radio Network. Michael, are you there with us?
I am here with you, Heidi, and congratulations on your first show.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yes, you are. And it's going to be an awesome show, and we're going to have some fun today. And so, Heidi, why don't you tell me a little bit about the vision for the Diet Rich Life before we get started here. And I know we're going to reverse course, and I'm going to interview you on your own show. I'm actually on the phone and a guest, and you are in the studio, but I get to interview you, and it's one of the fun things I like to do with the host. So why don't we start by telling me a little bit about the vision you have for your show in the coming weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. So obviously with my name, Heidi Dietrich, I'll tell you where the name of the show came from. So many people look at me and say, how do you spell that? And my response has always been, for nearly 20 years now, it's spelled like diet rich. And oddly enough, Michael, people look at me and they still aren't sure how to spell it. But anyway, so my background, I've been in business for myself for over 25 years in the health, wellness, fitness, nutrition industry. And being in business for myself, obviously had to develop business skills and mastery, marketing, promotions, developing my business. So really the two words, diet rich, just have meant so much for me. I tell you, since I got married, I've always known that I had to do something with that name. And it really has just come to fruition over the past year, but really with this show, the past month, in knowing what I was going to do with it. So what the Diet Rich Life means to me and my vision for it is life mastery for four key elements in living a rich, full life. And those elements are optimal health, wealth, love, and happiness. So with health, really talking about, we'll have guests on the show, and I'll be speaking about holistic health, whole foods, clean eating. Although diet is in the name, I am not a fan of diets at all. If anything, the name to me implies a formula for living a rich life, the diet for living a rich, full life. So it's kind of a double-edged connotation there. I'll also be talking meal prep, food prep, developing simple systems in the kitchen, especially for busy families, which I know all so well. And I know, Michael, as you've gotten to know me, you've experienced that with me on the go with my kids, right?
Yes, I have. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of hosts on the Coach on Fire Network that have families, and I'm constantly talking to them in the car or on the way to basketball practice, soccer practice. I think your son Joseph yesterday had a jiu-jitsu thing that we were talking on the way home. So everyone has a busy family life, and the more you can do to streamline, healthy meals, especially for a growing family, I think that's absolutely awesome, Heidi. Why don't you give us just one or two tips here. Let's get some free coaching here. One or two tips on how a busy mom can streamline the cooking process and have a healthy meal for their young growing family.
Okay, let's see. Oh, God, I got a couple of good ones. But I would say one of my best tips is to keep a grocery list in your phone. I keep one in. I have an app that I use, and it's basically it has like check. You have a place where you can make check marks off. So I have the key list of every single food item that I would ever buy, and this is at Whole Foods where I do my shopping. Michael, the food list on my phone is in order of me walking into that store, and pretty much the pattern I fall into as I'm walking through. So I walk in and there's the produce aisle. So I know this is getting detailed, but to simplify it, let me tell you, if you do this basic setup for yourself, you will save yourself time and anxiety, mm-hmm. and you'll save yourself from getting to the store and trying to figure out what do I need and what do I have at home. So this is what I do. I have the running list in my phone of everything that I ever would possibly buy, everything, all the way down to like small items like spices, sea salt. And there's a checkbox next to them. And what I do is I do a quick run through and I click off and check everything that I already have that I would not need. And if there's an open box next to it, then that means I need it at the store. So I walk in, and I'm sure people in Whole Foods probably think that I'm walking around being rude and staring at my phone, texting, but I am going through my grocery shopping list. So I just click on it and it checks off when I throw something in my cart. So having a plan and following a grocery list, this way you will not come home with items that you hadn't planned on coming home with. And when you get home wondering what the heck it is or why you bought it and wishing you hadn't bought it because you are trying to stick to your clean eating. And so planning ahead, that's one simple thing. And I will give a little future tip that I have a great system for meal prep and for being able to create multiple meals for the week out of the one time frame of doing your food prep. So we'll be talking about that in a future episode.
Very cool. And I know
that was probably a lot. There was probably a lot more than what you thought I was going to answer.
And I know that you have three kids ranging from 18, I think 15 is the second one. Your daughter's 15. And then Joseph, who we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, is all the way down to 7. How do you teach them healthy eating habits? I know, you know, as a teenager, I was not exactly the most healthy eater in the world. And very hard to be that way as a teenager. How are you going about teaching your kids healthy nutrition and eating?
That's a great question, Michael. I have to confess, I grew up with a mother who was focused on good nutrition and really was a guiding light for me regarding good, healthy food choices. She was way ahead of her time. She was a pioneer. I mean, there's definitely things that have changed with new information that's come out, but I have instilled in my kids I want to say, especially to new moms, the key is start them young, start them early, and don't just give them something to, you know, satisfy, you know, make it quick and easy and less sugar. The more sugar you give them, it's going to change their taste buds and it will crowd out they won't have the desire to have more vegetables in their diet. So it's really a fine balance there. But I started my kids young from the time I nursed all three of my kids, and then they pretty much were on a diet of whole foods, and they also had food allergies. So that made it easy. They've never had dairy in their life, any of them, because they're all highly allergic to it. And nowadays everyone's trying to get rid of dairy, right? I pull it out of the diet because, you know, they hear so many things about why we shouldn't have dairy. They also haven't had wheat for a very long time and soy. So they kind of have it easy because they, those are things that were cut out of their diet at a very young age.
So are you a gluten-free house if you don't have wheat?
We are. We're a dairy-free, gluten-free, and soy-free home. We're a bundle of fun to go out to eat with.
I bet. Do you, with the kids, follow like an 80-20 rule or anything like that? I mean, you do have teenagers, and, you know, often they'll go out for pizza or things like that. How do they handle that?
Well, these are, we're talking food allergies, so it's not like they
gotcha.
Have to handle it.
Gotcha.
You know, they
gotcha.
Have, and each child has a different reaction from, you know, projectile vomiting to gastrointestinal issues to rash, skin rashes. It presents itself in every child differently. So it's, you know, here's a little key. Whatever's going on in the gut is going to show up on the skin. So a lot of people are running to the doctor to treat all these skin rashes, eczema, psoriasis. They need to be checking what they're eating and cleaning up what they're putting into their body, because there's something that is not agreeing with their body.
Okay, very cool, Heidi. Why don't
yeah.
we
Do
give out the
we
phone
move
number
into the,
here? I would.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
The guest,
ahead,
you
Heidi.
Can call in and speak with us at 646-716-7979. Call in. Love to hear from you and answer any questions, or if you just want to call in and say hello.
Very
Michael,
good.
Do you want
and
to...
And I'd like for all of you, as I said earlier in the intro of the show, Heidi is one of our newest hosts. We will be premiering another new host tomorrow, Victoria Haffer, and who happens to be a very good friend of Heidi's as well. We'll talk a little bit more about her show at the end. But Heidi's one of our two new coaches. And I will, Heidi, I'd like to reverse course here a little bit. And let's talk a little bit about you. I'd love for our listeners to get to know you a little bit, as I have over the past few weeks. And as you said, they can call in and meet you live and ask any questions they may have. But I want to take you back a little bit to your childhood. I know you started your entrepreneurial career at a relatively young age. You came from an entrepreneurial family. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that and how you got started at such a young age?
Oh, boy. Well, my dad started a couple of companies. His first one out of an office, which was a room, a bedroom next to my bedroom. He eventually started, and that really, that company was started to fund his bigger dream, his second company that he started. And he moved the office out of the house, grew that company to thousands of employees worldwide, took the company public, which was his dream. And as I watched this happen, it was fascinating to me. I was fascinated by all that he was able to accomplish and juggle. And I just remember thinking, like, how does he do it all? How does he do it all? And he was responsible for so many people's livelihoods, you know, and all of their families. And he really mastered that. And we really lived a good life. Definitely had benefits from his achievements. But he wasn't home. He wasn't available. He was growing the company. And, you know, my mom was an entrepreneur of sorts. She was a fitness instructor. And again, as I said, she was a pioneer way ahead of her time in the Kenneth Cooper age. If anybody knows about, you know, aerobics, the history of aerobics and Kenneth Cooper down in Texas coining that term. And so, you know, I watched her excel in what she did. She was on radio shows and television shows, and she created fitness programs. One was called Encore, E-N-C-O-R-E, and it was a fitness program she developed for women with breast cancer. And my mom had business offers and opportunities that she turned down because her primary goal, you know, she was home raising three children, three girls. And so I had a lot of respect for my mom. I had a lot of respect for my father, and in terms of their business skills and their zones of genius. But I also knew, so I knew that entrepreneur, that life is what I wanted, the entrepreneurialism and the freedom and just that. The books in my bookshelf from a young age, Michael, were never novels. They were always about personal development, business, marketing. The first set of audio tapes my father handed me was when I was in high school. Dennis Watley was something about winning the game. I can't think of the name of it. I actually wrote a blog post about it, but it really inspired me, and that you are responsible. The message was you are responsible for whatever you want to become. And that stuck with me. So really combining my mother's passion for keeping family first and my father's passion for building a big business and making a big imprint on the world, I knew I had to combine the best of both of those. I had to do it my own way. I had to find a different way and create something that was impactful, where I had my own business. I pretty much think I was psychologically unemployable from early on. Started teaching fitness classes when I started subbing for my mom in high school. I got certified to be a fitness instructor and then went on to college and subbed for the dean of the phys ed department at my university. I started subbing for her fitness classes. And then in graduate school went on and had a grad assistantship where I taught phys ed classes in graduate school, weight training, running, and aerobics classes. So fitness was definitely the direction that I was going in with my business. And, and when I was in graduate school, based on some independent research that I was doing, and the independent research was researching the economic impact of wellness programs in the corporations, so corporate wellness. And I repackaged that research and pretty much made it like it was a sales presentation to corporations to sell them why they needed wellness in the workplace, how it would affect their bottom line. Cause that's really what they care about, right? That's where big companies, the bottom line is what's most important. So I needed to sell them on why they needed a corporate wellness program. And this was in the early 90s. It was essentially new and really up and coming. So the timing was right for that. And that was my baby. That's where I launched my first company, The Wellness Edge, right out of graduate school.
Very cool. And then you saw the trends and you shifted to online. Tell us a little bit about that and how you have evolved to what you're doing now and what specifically are you doing now in your business?
Well, yeah, so... as I got married, had a family, growing, now, as you mentioned, three kids, I knew my business was a consulting business. And one of the things I saw from my father, and I mentioned him being responsible for so many people, I knew I did not want to be responsible for a lot of people and their livelihood. That scared the heck out of me. So I stuck to the consulting business model and, which worked for a while, and it was super flexible with my kids. In fact, I could, when I had just one child, I used to carry him around in a sling, and I'd carry him around and bring him to the offices with me. So, I kind of fell into, was looking around for how to change my business model, and in 2006. started learning about internet marketing and changed my whole business model, focusing on that, learning as much as I could about, you know, marketing on the internet, affiliate marketing, creating programs. And, you know, so my passion, my business has always been about helping others in the area of health. It grew into helping others in the areas of business building, marketing strategies, branding themselves, setting themselves apart. And that's really my zone of genius. I get crazy excited when I can see, and I can do this with other people. I have a difficult time doing it with myself. It's kind of funny, and I think most people are like that. I look at individuals or I look at businesses and I immediately get so excited because I see so much possibility. I see expansion. I see all these other areas of income potential. You could be doing this. You could be doing that. You could, you know, if you made this tweak, this could happen. And obviously with the all increasing profits, increasing bottom line. And sometimes I have to hold myself back because I think I might like freak people out. But and also seeing people's passions, you know, being able to look in someone and really pull out their passions and see how they could make it profitable. And in today's day and age with the internet just exploding, it's not going away. It's just getting bigger. And, you know, now, as you and I have spoken about, it's with live streaming, there's going to be, you know, the TV shows that are going to be popping up online, and the number of people that are going to have their own reality TV shows is going to be crazy. The perfect timing of it's, as I said, it's been since 2006. It's been over 10 years, and I've molded that into, you know, pretty much what I've described to you right then is business building, branding and marketing strategies, and combining that with a holistic health mentoring, coaching. And really, you know, you mentioned family in the beginning. That's my driving force is helping, especially women seem to be the ones I connect with, you know, that come to me the most is, you know, whether they have a successful business already, and they've lost sight of themselves, their why they started their business to be home with their kids, and kind of like pulling them back, you know, reining them in and rebuilding, recreating the business, building a business around their life, as opposed to having the business run them. And, you know, other women coming to me that they're working towards that, you know, they have this vision, they see what's possible, and to say like, how can I do that? So that's, you know, we initially, just to kind of circle back when I talked about the diet rich life and what it meant, health, wealth, love, and happiness. We spoke a great deal about the health component. The wealth component is really about, you know, wealth building, business building, marketing strategies, branding. And as I said, that's my passion. That's my zone of genius. And health is just it's intrinsically part of me too. And how I was raised. And so I have a passion for sharing what I know, and I have to be careful because what I know, I forget. It's not common knowledge. I feel like I assume it is. And then when people come to me and ask me questions, I realize it's not. So I know that there's so much to share there. And then the last two, the love and happiness components. You know, I didn't have love in there, Michael. Originally, I always would say health, wealth, and happiness. And I realized love is truly the basis of, it's the basis for living. It's the core of everything. You know, if you don't, we talk about love yourself first before you can love somebody else. And, you know, love is what makes the world go round. So that encompasses spirituality and unwavering faith. And then of course, happiness, you know, the happiness advantage and being, I mean, that's really going to drive your whole attitude about everything else going on in your life. So that's a really shortened snippet.
Yeah. You mentioned holistic, and everyone seems to define that in a different way in my experience. What is your philosophy of holistic, or your definition of holistic?
My philosophy of holistic is all-encompassing. Well, actually, there's two different ones, because I know holistic is not spelled W-H. It's typically spelled H-O. But I think of it visually in my mind as W-H and holistic, the whole being. You know, it's all-encompassing of, you know, the food, the, you know, what you put into your body, the amount of sleep you get, your mind, your mindset, your thoughts, you know. So it's encompassing the self-care, and of course fitness. And holistic, with just the H, I think of as natural, as nothing processed, and clean. You know, you hear the key term clean eating is a big term used today. And that's, in my mind, in my philosophy, is what holistic health and holistic nutrition is about. And natural healing, I would also throw in there.
Okay.
And trying to find the solutions from within. You know, the body has an incredible capacity to heal itself. And we live in a magic bullet mentality. Too many people are just want to, you know, run to the doctor, pick up the phone and get the prescription, get the cream, get the medicine, as opposed to trying to heal themselves from within. And that starts with what we're eating. You know, food is either medicine or food can be the poison. So I could go on and on there, so you better stop me.
Okay. Now, Heidi, this is your first show. There's a lot of moving parts in the studio, and you're there and not me. Is there anyone waiting on the line at this point?
There
and
is not.
Not. Let's give out. Okay, there is not. So let's give out the phone number one more time, and if you would like to meet Heidi and ask her a question, give us a call at, there's your cue, Heidi, the number.
The number is 646-716-7979. Give us a call.
And
I would
the name
love
of your show
you.
Again is the name of this show,
the,
Heidi?
The Diet Rich Life.
The
We're
Diet
talking
Rich Life
Mastery.
On the Coach on Fire Radio Network. Okay, go ahead. What's the tag?
Life Mastery for Health, Wealth, Love, and Happiness.
Okay. And happiness was the last one. What makes you happy, Heidi, and how do you teach others to be happy?
Oh, gosh, gratitude. Gratitude, starting the day with being grateful. And I know this is one of those things that I shouldn't say I know, because I'm in this. This is my focus. And so I have to remember that not everybody is in this realm and focusing on this stuff daily. But starting your day with gratitude, there's a lot out there about it. And, you know, I think people, I don't know, maybe there's just reading it and doing it once in a while. But when you make it part of your core, part of your being, part of your routine, to really, like, literally, it's on, it becomes autopilot. Open my eyes and boom, that's the first thing. I open my eyes and think, what am I grateful for today? And then I, you know, go into prayer and meditation. And that's, you know, it's funny because I use very focused guided tools and that kind of prompts, if you will. And there's an app that I start my day with called the Daily Word. And it's based on each day. They have a Bible verse and the focus of the day is based on that. So it's very broad. I mean, they do mention God, but they mention, you know, higher being, or, you know, whatever you choose to wording you choose to use, you know, you can use that. But happiness is a choice, and it comes from within. It doesn't just happen. You really, I don't want to say you have to work on it, but it's definitely a conscious choice. You choose to be happy. You choose to get out of life and get out of a situation what you are focusing on. Focus on the good.
Okay.
So that's
I know faith is very important to you. You did an awesome show talking about faith and your probably biggest challenge or obstacle to date. And it revolves around your youngest son, Joseph, who I believe is 7. Is that right, Heidi? And
yep.
Something that major health-wise that happened to him a couple of years ago. And why don't we talk a little bit about that biggest obstacle in your life or biggest challenge in your life to date, how you got through that, how faith helped you, and just walk us through that story. And then tell us a little bit about your forthcoming book.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. So faith and really a key term for me is unwavering faith, which I first heard when my husband and I were going through our premarital counseling with our minister. And it was, you know, it's one of those things that I wouldn't say I practiced daily. I it's definitely a core belief, but it kicked into high gear and was monumental when Joseph, who was then 5 years old, was diagnosed with a brain tumor the size of, well, it was said by different doctors, some said small grapefruit, some said large orange or softball. It was large. And it was in that moment in the ER where they read me my husband, the MRI results, that it really kicked in. And it's funny because I had, you know, I talk about with a lot about unwavering faith. I talk a lot about intuition and following your intuition. And it was like all of a sudden I just had these aha moments, and I was realizing, like, I had been the whole month leading up to the diagnosis, I had been led to read all of these specific books. And it occurred to me that there was I had a strong calling, and I couldn't explain it. I couldn't understand the urgency to read them, but I followed them. And it was undeniable, the feeling. And one of the books I just read straight through, and I was saying, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to be taking notes and I need to be highlighting. And at the end of the book, I looked at my husband, because we were driving a long drive from home from New Jersey. I looked at him and said, holy shit. I said, we are in so much trouble if one of our kids gets sick. And I said, we don't have a church group to reach out to. And he's looking at me, what are you talking about? And I said, well, this book I'm reading, Heaven is for Real, it's the little boy gets sick and he had this near-death experience, and his parents reached out to their entire church community. And because he was a pastor, he had this reach to all these other churches in, you know, their whole Midwest region. And in what I got, it was clear to me that I was meant to read that book and to get this message. The message I got from that book was the there's power in number, in prayer. And so when Joseph was in the hospital, they were rolling him in for his craniotomy. He had an emergency brain surgery. It lasted 10 hours. And this was Sunday morning. We were in the ER Friday night. And they had to do another procedure on Saturday. And I didn't say anything to anybody. I couldn't even talk to anybody on the phone. I'm not even sure if I talked to my parents. I think I was like texting. I pretty much isolated myself with him and of course my husband Fran, and he was going back and forth with our kids. But the morning of the surgery, it's 6 a.m, Fran brought our other two children. I'm going to start joking up here.
It's okay, Heidi. Just take a minute.
So he brought our other two kids to the hospital because we had no idea. We didn't know that was the last time that they would see him. So he was rolled in and at 7 a.m. And in that moment, as soon as the doors swung shut going into the ER, I knew exactly what I needed to do. And where I could reach the greatest numbers was reaching out on Facebook. And I asked for prayers. It was a really short post, but I reached out. I gave a short clip of, you know, saying that he had going in for an emergency craniotomy, 10-hour surgery, asking for prayers. And it just ignited a chain reaction. I got messages and private messages and comments and prayers from people all over the world, as far as Italy and Greece and England, people that I didn't even know, saying, you know, he was in prayer chains with their church and their quilting group. And it was incredible. And because of that, because I'd asked for everyone's prayers, I felt this urgency. I felt an urge to, I had to update everybody and keep everyone. I felt like I owed it to everybody in a good way. And typically I was with Joseph 24/7. So typically it was by the time, even though he was in a private room and he had his own private nurse, it's amazing, Michael, what needs to be done. Like I still needed to, there was things I still needed to do for him. You know, of course I was there to love him and support him you know, all of that aspects that a mother would do, but also just the caretaking part. It was unbelievable that I was still needed to help out with things, which I only bring that up because it's mind blowing that, you know, to think that there was other kids there, didn't have parents that were there, which was heartbreaking to me. And they also had, you know, multiple nurses, you know, or nurses that were caring for multiple patients. So there's no way they were getting the same level of care, but that's a whole other topic that I get into. But each night I would post and keep people updated on Facebook. And I don't know where it came from, but I had this immense amount of faith, as I say, unwavering faith. I just, this knowing, an absolute knowing that he was going to be okay. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I was worried, but there was this calmness. And I was all, especially dealing with the doctors, I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm some cold mother. I was all business, you know, just when every time they spoke, I, you know, just was listening, taking notes, or if it was, or I'd have the nurse take notes for me, because sometimes the words didn't even make sense what they were saying. But really what got me through was, you know, just choosing hope, believing that he was in the best place, the best care, the everything was happening for a reason and unfolding the way it was for a reason. And it really came to light that there had to be a much greater purpose for this. And Joseph's spirit really showed that as well. I mean, he was, he would break out into song at different points that he had crossed a barrier, and he would just make up these songs and start singing. And, you know, some of them I managed to get video clips of, and not all of the full song, but it was pretty inspirational to see his spirit so lit up when he had just, you know, he was recovering from having a craniotomy. The unwavering faith and the support from everyone else in the Facebook community, friends, family that helped out, that was just immense. And I knew that there was the power. I mean, on top of incredible medical care and an amazingly talented chief of children's neurosurgery at Children's Hospital in Boston, who, by the way, wasn't on call. The whole medical crew, as he called his A-team, he pulled together, none of them were on call. And for that weekend, he came in. I think they, you know, because he was the chief, it was such a critical case, and he was at a life-threatening stage when he was brought in there, because the tumor was so big, it was pressing on. There was no place else for anything in his head to go. Like, everything was just at maximum capacity. There was matter being pushed from down, you know, his brainstem. You could see that in the MRI. So they called him in, and he assured us that, you know, he's pulling together his A-team. And I mean, that's a blessing. Everything that just fell together and unfolded was a blessing. And right up to the healing mass that, you know, was, we had to wait over 2 weeks for the oncology results. The tumor was so big that they had to test every cell. And, you know, they said this took a long time, but it also, you know, they went from the worst case scenario, like the descriptions they were giving me were, it wasn't good. Like, I knew that they thought it was the worst type of tumor, which is a glioma. And I just had this gut feeling that they wanted to do radiation and that was where we were going. And although, now this is going to sound kind of crazy and I don't know how to make sense of this, but although I knew that, I just held on to this belief that he was going to be fine and he was going to come out of this, and that he would not be going to further treatment. On the night we were going to his healing mass, it was about 2.5 weeks after the surgery, we're walking out the door and we get a phone call, and we would not have normally answered the phone. Literally, like, we're all, the whole family, walking out the door, and my friend and I look at each other, look at the phone, I look back at him, and he says, "Answer it." I picked up the phone, and it was the neuro-oncologist saying, I don't know what he said. I couldn't hear anything that he was saying except for no further treatment is needed. And it was just like, oh, this huge relief, this huge weight. And we could walk into the church where the healing mass was being held, and, you know, let people know. Of course, it was just starting. I couldn't tell everybody until afterwards. So I was feeling guilty that they were all there, but, you know, there's so much more he still needed healing from, you know, to make sure that there was no deficits or no tumor regrowth. And I have to say, you know, it's just miraculous. He came out of the surgery with zero deficits, no neurological deficits, no physical deficits. You know, they were sending in physical therapists and occupational therapists and all these different therapists. And I'm looking at them saying, why does he need to be seen by these people? And it was like it didn't even occur to me that he maybe couldn't walk again, or he maybe wouldn't be able to talk, or he maybe wouldn't be able to, you know, maybe be partially paralyzed. And, you know, I didn't allow myself to go there. So I guess that's all part of the unwavering faith and seeing the good all along, just holding on to, I was grateful. I had so much gratitude when I was in the hospital. I was so grateful I could be there with him. I was so grateful that, you know, my husband had the flexibility to be there during the day. He needed to go home and, you know, be at the house at night with our kids. But, you know, I looked at the other kids and was so sad for them. I literally cried. I'd come back because I had to leave Joseph's room to go to the bathroom. He didn't have a bathroom in his private room. And I'd have to walk down the hall, around the corner and outside of the ICU and use the bathroom out there and in the hallway. And so I had to pass by these kids all the time. And Michael, I'm sad to say that the majority of them did not have a parent in the room. And it just really put me in such a place of gratitude. And another thing that really stuck with me was just my bed. The cot was built in the back of the room and overlooking Boston. There's this huge window and I would, you know, lie there and I could hear the helicopters landing on the roof of the hospital. And my heart broke then, and I would shed tears and say a prayer for the parents and the child that was being brought in, that was being airlifted. And, you know, I thought obviously if they're being airlifted, they're in a critical state and, you know, may not make it. And I was grateful. I was grateful for where Joseph was as, you know, and we didn't even know the diagnosis then, but I didn't allow myself to go there and project any of the negative possibilities. So I guess you could say unwavering faith, positivity and hope and, you know, blind faith, right? I guess that's what you'd call it. Cause I had my blinders on. I saw the good and I was appreciative.
Yeah, certainly an inspiring story and quite sad that many of the kids that you saw in the hospital and children's hospital there did not have a parent around. Gratitude is very, very important for that. But thank you for that highly emotional and inspiring story, Heidi. And I know that a couple of weeks ago you did an interview with one of our other hosts, Jessica Aaronworth, on her Brain Healthy show that expanded on Joseph's miracle in a big way. And if anyone's interested in listening to Heidi talk about her unwavering faith and Joseph's miracle, you can go to Coach on Fire Radio's fan page on Facebook. That's just facebook.com/Coach on Fire Radio and scroll down and you'll find Heidi's interview with Jessica Aaronworth, who does an awesome job for us on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. That interview is there if you would like to access the replay of that at some point. So thank you for that, Heidi. We've got a few minutes left here. So if anyone would like to meet Heidi in the last 10 minutes or so and ask us a question, you're invited to call in. And Heidi, there's your cue again.
You can call in to 646-716-7979. And you're listening to The Diet Rich Life with Heidi Dietrich. We're talking life mastery for health, wealth, love, and happiness. And I'm on the line here speaking with Michael Brooks, founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network, who's also my producer. So,
absolutely,
Michael.
You're doing an awesome job, Heidi. I know that I'm kind of interviewing you here and walking you through this first show. And as I said, we are just thrilled that you're on the Coach on Fire Radio team. So, Heidi, let's get a few more questions in and maybe a couple of fun questions.
We have a call coming in, Michael.
Oh, we do. Well, let's take the call then.
Here we go. 617 number. Hello, you were on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Victoria. Heidi?
It's Victoria Haffer.
Hi,
yes, it is.
Heidi. Hi, Michael. Hi, guys. Wow. Such an inspiring story. So fabulous to be hearing your voice on air, and such an inspiration to us all. I have a couple questions, and I think other people may have the same. You are like superwoman. Like you do so much. You know, husband, you take care of your kids. You're running an amazing, successful business. And so how do you fit in the self-care piece? Like what's really, you know, taking time just for you and the things that really matter to you?
Ooh, that's a really good question. And actually, that's something I work on with women and building that into their business and personal life. So that it's an awesome question. The simple answer, I have to say, and most people are not going to like it, is to get up earlier. It's funny, you know, everything, Victoria, I know you can appreciate this. Everything I do is research based, and I know you're a research junkie as well. So when I want to do something, achieve something, find out about something, I research. So, you know, I study successful people. And one of the things I did was study, you know, the habits of successful people and what are they doing first thing in the morning? You know, there's gotta be something. And there was I put this list together years ago, and there wasn't one person that did all of these things, but of course, me being who I am, I thought, if they're achieving this, doing, you know, three of these things, why don't I just do all of these things that they're all doing, kind of combine them together. So one of the things was waking up earlier than, as opposed to just waking up an hour before, you know, giving yourself enough time to run out the door before wherever you have to be. So giving yourself an extra hour or 2 hours, waking up before everyone else in the house so you have some peaceful time to yourself where you can get your workout in. I'm a huge advocate of home workouts, and there's so many things that are possibilities of between live streaming workouts now, and of course DVDs, and you could go online and find things and apps. So there's so many possibilities, and I love helping women pick their ideal workout. So that's one: get up and work out, and have some quiet time, meditate, you know, visualize, and you know, affirmations, journaling. And I know I'm forgetting something. That's it. So anyway, the best way I'm trying to think, and I'm gonna say this is a little like quick side plug, is that I created this little system, but a year ago, I found a guy who created the same system, the exact same things I was doing. He calls them savers. Okay. Savers, S for silence, A for affirmations, V for visualizations, E for exercise, and S, he kind of got tricky. It was journaling, but he called it scribing. So obviously you could use the savers. This guy's name is Hal Elrod, and he came out with this, what he calls the miracle morning. And I thought, you know, me being the marketing junkie that I am, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's brilliant. I've been doing this and this has been saving me. And when I am consistently getting up early and doing these things, I am like on fire. I am well rested. I am happy. Everyone around me is happier. I am getting more done. It's crazy. And this guy packaged it together, called it Savers, put a title on it, The Miracle Morning, and is sharing it with the world. I'm a huge fan of him, Hal Elrod. Go grab the book, The Miracle Morning. I highly recommend it. That's my tip for the day. So I'm long-winded. I know you probably wanted a shorter answer, but short answer is get up earlier.
That's great. Yeah, that's definitely not the thing I wanted to hear, not being a morning person, but I totally understand.
But you know what?
Thanks so much,
Heidi.
So
here's the thing. Listen, here's a little tip, okay? This is the reality of it. You don't have to get up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. What I mean, some people do because that they have to get going at in an early time. It's just the message really is don't just wake up and give yourself time to get ready to go or to do whatever it is you need to do. Give yourself an extra hour. Give yourself an and then like as you do that, then you're going to want to add time on. Maybe give yourself an extra 2 hours. So create that time earlier in the day, and I promise you. So if you normally get up at 9, then get up at 7, or back it up an hour. Get up at 8. So whatever it is, just make it a little earlier than what you would normally do. So that's. Does that make you happy, or doesn't have to be 5 a.m.? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Victoria, and I'm so excited,
guys.
Victoria, if you could stay on the line just a second. We've only got 5 minutes left here.
Yes.
And I want to get one more question in for Heidi before we wrap here.
Okay.
Heidi, tell us, and most of the surprise questions I have will be safe for Victoria tomorrow, since Joseph's story went a little long, and as it should have, because it was so inspiring. But so be forewarned, Victoria, you get all the surprise questions tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But Heidi, tell us one thing about you that most people don't know.
Oh, my gosh. You're totally throwing me off. I feel like I'm like an open book. Let's see. A lot of people don't know I was a competitive figure skater.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Give me an area to
Well, I think most people don't know that you were a competitive figure skater.
There you go. There's my answer.
That's probably good.
You mean I don't need to give
Victoria,
you an
essay? Who knows you so well, kind of as your best friend. Victoria, what's one thing that you know about Heidi that most people don't?
She can't drink alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's all going back to the digestive issues. That'll come out in one of my health shows. I'm slowly realizing just I can't metabolize alcohol. Like it affects my body in some ways that, you know, food affects people's bodies in the negative way. So anyway, yeah. That's...
Okay, Victoria, real quick, you premiere tomorrow with your Inspired Rebel radio show, and we're going to do something very similar to what we did with Heidi today. So tell us a little bit about what your show is going to be about in the coming weeks, and if you can do it in 45 seconds, that would be awesome.
Absolutely. So thanks, Michael. Yeah, so it's a show that inspires people to live a kick-ass life, for sure, stepping out of the box, embracing your fears, and living your life as if the gate has been left open. So it's like stepping into the unknown, leaning into being into the unknown, and being comfortable with being uncomfortable is where all the transformation happens. So I will support you every step of the way. I've got your back every step of the way, and we're going on a journey.
Absolutely awesome. Okay, Heidi, your first show is complete. Congratulations. I'm excited to have both Heidi Dietrich and Victoria Happer as the newest host on the Coach on Fire radio network. We will see Victoria tomorrow at 12 Eastern. And Heidi, that's your cue to wrap it up.
Oh, 2 p.m.
All right.
Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Oh, 2 p.m. Yeah, 12 p.m. my
Victoria's,
time. 2 p.m. Eastern time.
You're right, 2 p.m. on Friday, Victoria's show, the Inspired Rebel Radio.
Eastern.
Thank you, Victoria, for calling in. I appreciate it. And so if you all want to find out where you can find me, you can go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheHeidiDietrich. And you can also, I have a couple of pages up. One is dietrichmedia.com. You can get on the pre-launch list for my book, Joseph's Miracle, which has a launch date of September 7th of this year. Thank you.